We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Disposable cloth and voila! That dust is gone for good. Now that you know the dirt, say goodbye to the dust. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters. Stop cleaning. Start Swiffering.
Demon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is wonderful to have you here today. The Rangers are in town to take on the San Francisco Giants tonight. Kyle Gibson versus Alex Wood in what is hands down the most unheralded pitching matchup you're going to find that equally qualifies as a great pitching matchup. Gibson is 3-0 with a 2-4-0. Wood is 3-0 with a 1-9-6. Both these teams coming in today smacking 46 home runs apiece. That is good for third place in their respective leagues. So pitching certainly is going to mean something. It has meant an awful lot for the Giants up to this point. And to talk about that, the season at large, we're very happy to welcome back to the show Javi Lopez here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Kolsky here today. It's just me and Ratto. Javi, how you doing, man?
Hey, Damon. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing excellent.
Hi, Dad.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it was a chance to sweep the Padres on Sunday, but things got away from Cueto early in his first game back. What does that mean, if anything, to you when he gets smacked around by that? A lineup that we all know does damage.
Yeah, you know, it kind of let the air out of the balloon after a chance to sweep to lose like that. But when I looked at Cueto, I watched the start. The velocity was there. The movement was there. The location wasn't. And could he have benefited from a start in the minor leagues? Probably a rehab start. But those are just hard to do right now with the minor leagues, the way that things are going there now. So you try to speed up that process. And he's a professional. He's been around for such a long time.
Right.
You figure he was able to just kind of jump in. And that lineup, you know, the Padres, they haven't been playing the best of baseball. But when they get hot, they can absolutely dominate the way they did. They can take over a baseball game. And that's what I'm not too concerned about Johnny going forward. I think that's the arm that they need actually back in this rotation to kind of pick things up and help out this pitching staff, which has already showed that they, as well as they go, that's how the Giants go. And I think they're, you know, another good one tonight, and Alex Wood going off tonight against the Rangers.
Toward that end, is this about the time of year when now not only are teams getting second looks at pitchers, but scouts are getting third and fourth looks at pitchers? And is this when it starts to get more difficult? And this is not a Cueto question as much as it is a starting rotation question in general. Is this the first time that you have to start seeing pitchers making adjustments on what they were getting away with in April?
Right, I think that's a good point. I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a chess match here when it comes to the scouting, putting more eyeballs on guys and looking at it. The analytics departments are definitely going to be staring at some pitch sequences and predictability patterns and things like that, and probably bringing that to some of these starters about how they're trying to do that. And you really like to see that. You really start to notice it, I should say, when the offense is that second time through when that starter's pitching, how their plan of attack changes from that very first at bat. You have two teams that can work the counts. The Giants probably see over four pitches per batter. I mean, they're up there in Major League Baseball for working the counts. And that's where you start to noticing, as just a fan, and if I'm doing some analysis when I watch the game, I look at what the hitter's approaches are going to be that second time around. Not so much that first time, but you always try to stay one step ahead, and I think that's where the veteran starters can maybe lean on that a little bit easier, and having Buster Posey back down there in the squat this season is going to help as they go forward. I think in May is the month where you figure out what you have and what you're going to need. April is a great month. You always want to get off to a good start. But by the end of May, you know, you got to figure out what kind of pieces you have and what kind of pieces you're going to need, because that summer stretch comes pretty quick. And I think this is an important month.
How much has the catching battery of Posey and Casale made this pitching staff, given it the start that it's had? I mean, I can't help but think that there's a big correlation to Buster Posey being back in the room and this start.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. I think when you have two backstops that have confidence in the situations that they're calling certain pitches, and they have the confidence in that pitcher, it just resonates a little bit more than maybe a younger guy getting a couple shots behind the plate. And that's no shot at Chadwick Trump, because he caught tremendously last year, or Joey Bart. But knowing from my experience, when I'm able to pitch to a guy that's been back there in key games and some key spots, and they are trusting in a pitch that maybe I don't have full confidence in, it sells me and it takes me over the top to throw that pitch with conviction and execute it to the best of my ability. And I think that is something that is showing up, and it's probably resonating, I think, definitely with the starting staff, but it's working with the bullpen guys as well. You see these guys throwing these pitches with conviction because you have your MVP, your former MVP, batting champ, three-time World Series champ, hopefully four times, like Buster Posey. When he's calling that pitch, you know that if he likes it, then you're going to have to like it. And I do think that there's something to that, for sure. And Casale catching all those shutouts, I mean, he's not one to sleep on either. When he's back there, it's not like it's a throwaway game. You know, he's calling a game to win it. And I appreciate when you have that and the Giants have it.
Javi Lopez here on 95.7 The Game. So disqualifying Buster Posey as one of your available answers, which catcher were you most comfortable throwing to? And was there one, like you said, that made you uncomfortable who you'd like to crap on right now?
I would say the most comfortable was probably Eli Whiteside. He was a backup for Buster for a good number of years in San Francisco, and he just studied the game so well. He liked to probably call the games a little bit backwards. He liked to throw a lot of off-speed early to set up fastballs late. And it was just a different method of how to get people out, but it was kind of nice to change it up a little bit, kind of to raise point. You know, when I'm out there pitching, I pretty much am going to throw you a certain sequence almost every single time. And with Eli, it was a nice opportunity to mix it up. And I had some guys early in my career that just, if they couldn't stick the sinker, which is my primary pitch, then I just didn't like throwing to him. It was just an uncomfortability factor.
Right. Pass balls will kill you, right?
Yeah, pass balls kill you. And the framing, yeah, this was before the Fox box or whatever they're using now, the ESPN thing and all that. You know, if you can't stick that lower pitch in the zone, then I'm in some serious trouble. So I had a few of those that didn't stick around too long. And that's no fault of their own. It's just kind of how it is, I think. Pitching coaches and managers notice catchers that cannot, if they can't receive, then you are not going to be able to stick around very long. Now things have changed. It's become more of an offensive position. But yeah, back in the day, if you couldn't catch and throw, you weren't sticking around very long.
The bullpen, which had started so well, you know, has hit its first sort of rough patch of the year. And it doesn't seem like it's a few guys are going well and some guys aren't. It seems like getting through the bullpen is becoming more difficult. Is that just an organic thing, or does it happen by accident? And to the guys who are struggling, how much fixing has to get done on them? Is it like just a mechanical tweak? Is it a way of thinking that needs to change? Do bullpens start to take on like a mass personality, or is it just individual guys going good and then going bad?
I do think it's a collective group. I think when you have an experienced bullpen and you have some pieces that have been around down there and some that are very, very new to the situations that they're getting in, and I'm speaking really of Santos when he was up and Doval. I mean, these are guys that were in A-ball and didn't have an opportunity to pitch in the minor leagues. You're missing out on seasoning last year, and it's showing itself now. I think when I look at the bullpen from top to bottom, you do try to be a collective unit, and you do try to just focus on your job and hand it down. Now, I think Gabe does a tremendous job of putting the guys in those positions to succeed, but I do think the Giants are still in search of that bridge guy. You know, Tyler Rogers has been throwing his tail off, and he may very well throw in over half the games, but I hope that they don't have to rely on him for 80 games, that you can get some guys that can come in and get some outs, because when I mentioned May is when you figure out what kind of team you have, May is also the time that you have to take stock of what you have in your bullpen in particular, and who you have, what available arms you're going to have in AAA, and I guess Richmond is definitely on the table now as far as getting guys up to the big leagues to save those arms for when you really want to stretch run, whether it be in July or August or September when you're trying to make a playoff push. And I think when the bullpen does struggle, everyone struggles. Everyone feels it a little bit. And maybe they press a little bit. I think that's where the communication level really needs to go to the next level. And I think Andrew Bailey's former, your closer guy, he knows what's going on down there. And I think that's when you really lean on that pitching coach to have those conversations about maybe approach or the mental side, not so much the physical aspects of it. It's just more the mental approach when you're coming into it. The biggest things that I always learned from great coaches and great veteran players was really locking in on innings, outs, and situations. Like when you're coming in, who's up, who's on deck, what you can get away with and what you can't. Because so not all walks are bad walks, but bad walks happen when you multiply them and you start putting yourselves in those 2-0 counts against all these hitters that can do some serious damage. And I think the Giants catch themselves in those spots every once in a while. But, I don't think anybody would be – I know they've blown games and they maybe should have a few more wins in the win column, but I think you're excited where they're at. And I know I am. And, I just think you got to take stock of what you have and kind of have that open tryout for that bridge guy to get to Taylor and get to – or Tyler Rogers and get to McGee, figure out who you can get there in case the starter stumbles a little bit.
Javi Lopez here on 95.7 The Game. You talked about how, some guys have just gotten a little into trouble in the back of the bullpen. You know, Jake McGee is a guy that did reach a couple too many walks in bad situations, and that let go of the rope a little bit. How, what's the old saying? Like, if he had a third pitch, he'd be a starter. So
right.
If you're down to two pitches – and we now live in a world where guys are just hunting their pitches to try to elevate them. How much harder is it for a struggling guy in the bullpen to get right when, 80% of your workload is one pitch?
Yeah, correct. You're in high leverage situations, so there's no real way to practice that. I do understand the point you're making. And what I like to relay is just that fact that you're coming in, especially if you're Jake McGee, you're not coming in a 10-run blowout unless you really need you've had a 4-day off, 5 days off, and you're getting in that little touch feel. You're coming in high leverage situations. Those are big, big spots. And like you mentioned, I think you would hope you'd like to see it at least with some of the veteran guys. And for me, it was easier because I didn't throw 95 and up. So reaching back to get to 88 didn't do me any good. I needed to locate 86. And I think that's what I'd like to see when these guys get in trouble, is back off the throttle a little bit and locate. Because I think if you're able to hit your spot, it doesn't matter what pitch you're throwing. The hitter still has to manipulate the bat, beat you to that spot to do any sort of serious damage. And I think that's where some of the guys get caught when I'm watching some of these games. Some guys are reaching back to try to get that extra tick or two on the gun. Next thing you know, the location's off, the location suffers, and they catch too much of the plate, and that's when the things kind of snowball a little bit. And I think that's kind of happening to Jake at times. He just gets in those moments where he has that ride fastball up in the zone, about hand high, chest high to those hitters, where they see it great. They just can't manipulate the bat and beat him to that spot. But sometimes when he reaches back, it ends up flattening out and getting down lower into the zone where they're able to put some swings on, and that's just my analysis from a couch, I don't know what else is going on, but you just have to have those conversations. But you're right, it's a high leverage situation, and it's tough to just work your way through it. I mean, you wish you had some some spring training games left if you wanted to do those things. But that's just not how Major League Baseball works.
Does the fact that the minor leagues have started so late mean that pitchers in general have sort of more rope to work their way out of maybe a mechanical thing or, you know, a couple of bad outings? Or is this sort of the new baseball where there are 13 guys on a staff now, and if one guy's struggling, somebody else who's already on the major league roster would get moved into that spot?
Well, I do think it's a little bit of both that you mentioned there. I think with the minor league starting, this was the X factor we didn't know about last year. You didn't know the ripple effects of what a shortened season would do. And I think we're starting to see that. You're seeing a lot of injuries, not just on the pitching side, but on position player side, a lot of hamstring pulls, a lot of leg things, a lot of obliques, things you wouldn't, that normally would creep up, but not to this extent. And I think when you look at the pitching side, you are given a little bit longer leash because they had to back it off because of COVID protocols. So most of those guys that are in AAA are not, or maybe at the alternate site, are just not up to big league ready yet. But that's not, they won't be there in 1 week. You know, I do think you have some time to work through those things. And I do think baseball, the way it's going, you know, the three batter minimum rule, I reserved a little bit. I didn't know how I'd like it. I definitely don't like it. But when you look at it, there has to be guys that have to be able to step up, and whether it's a guy that they're going to ride a hot hand more often than not. That's not just the Giants. That's across baseball. They're riding bullpen guys till they definitely need a break. And if some of them have options, then they're going to make that. They're going to go ahead and make that roster manipulation. And, you know, it's the way the game is constructed right now. You got to win at the margins. And I think that's, again, not just to the Giants, but I think that's to every team in Major League Baseball, that you're going to ride a guy till he's gassed out. And if you need more than a few days of that, you're going to option him down and bring another guy up. And I think that's just what you're going to see from here on out, at least for this year, and then maybe for this foreseeable future, depending on the collective bargaining agreement.
Javi, would you describe a clubhouse of dudes growing mustaches as finding ways to win in the margins?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, because that shows that you're having fun. I mean, that's first and foremost. You got to tell yourself you're playing a game, and it's easier said than done. But when you have Austin Slater with one of the most mustaches I've ever seen in my life, rocking it with confidence, I'm a fan. I'm in.
It's really something. It's this combination of state trooper and porn star. It's really impressive. It really truly is. How long would it take you to grow a fat upper lip fur? What are we talking?
I mean, that's a good 6 months, I think. I mean, I tried to do the playoff beard. I couldn't grow a beard, so I had to shave a just disgusting goatee to try to make myself look a little bit cool. But yeah, I mean, it's a. I got to carve out half a year.
There you go. Javi Lopez, smooth like a dolphin. Who knew, everyone? There you go. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. We always love talking to you.
You got it, guys. Thanks again.
Javi Lopez, smooth like a dolphin, as we move into our 5 o'clock hour.